This is a meeting of the title-setting board pursuant to Article 40 of Title I, Colorado Revised Statutes. The date is July 18, 2007. The time is 2:01 p.m. We're meeting in the Secretary of State's Blue Spruce Conference Room, 1700 Broadway, Suite 270, Denver, Colorado. The title-setting board today consists of the following. My name is Bill Hobbs. I'm Deputy Secretary of State, and I'm here on behalf of Secretary of State Mike Coffin. To my left is Dan Carton, Deputy Director of the Office of Legislative Legal Services, who is here as the representative of the Director of the Office of Legislative Legal Services, Charlie Pike. And to my right is Dan Domenico, Solicitor General, who is here as the representative of Attorney General John Southers. Today we're meeting to consider title setting for one proposed measure, 2007-2008, number 36, definition of person. For anybody who wishes to testify, there is a sign-up sheet on the table by the back door. If you do wish to testify, be sure to sign up. The hearing is a recorded formal meeting, and it is broadcast over the Internet. Let me talk a little bit about the procedures that we follow. Basically, for each new measure, there are three steps that we go through. First, the board will hear from the proponents, and that is primarily to make sure that the board members understand the proposal. So typically, there may be questions from the board members directed to the proponents to make sure that we understand the proposal. The second step is for the board to determine if the measure complies with the single subject requirement of the Constitution. And this is necessary because the Constitution and the statutes prohibit the board from setting a title if a measure comprises more than one subject. And then third, if the board finds that it has jurisdiction to set a title because the measure complies with the single subject requirement, then the board will work on setting a title using a staff prepared draft, which I think is also on the table by the back door. Generally, we take all of the testimony first, then the board discusses and votes after testimony. A decision is reached by two of the three members of the board. And I want to emphasize, of course, that the board is concerned not with the merits of any proposal, but just with the setting of a fair title. Anybody who is dissatisfied with the decision of the board today can file a motion for rehearing with the Secretary of State within 7 days. With that, then let's turn to the agenda item, number 2007-2008, number 36. I would like, as I indicated, would like to hear from proponents first. If whoever is speaking for proponents, if you would like to come forward, identify yourself for the record, and then if you have any general remarks, feel free to do that. I think one of the things we typically ask is, you know, if assuming the measure is a single subject, what do you consider the single subject, and what do you consider the purpose of the measure? So I'll turn it over to you, sir.
My name is Mark Moisier. I am one of the proponents of this initiative. You asked the question, what do we consider our single subject? The proposed amendment addresses the single subject, which is a constitutional principle that fundamental rights of a person vest at the moment of fertilization.
Now, I'm sorry, the constitutional rights, and what was it you said?
The constitutional principle that fundamental rights of a person vest at the moment of fertilization.
Are there questions from members of the board?
Well, I might as well ask this now. I'm not sure if this is a single subject question or just a general question. What jumps out at me is why limit your amendment to these three sections of Article 2, the Bill of Rights, rather than just make a simple blanket statement?
We could have, but we figured, you know, in looking at, you know, all of Article 2 and looking at every time the word person or persons came up, these three constitutional, or these three sections in Article 2 really were the only three sections that would make sense that a person could be defined that far back. I mean, right to a jury trial. I can't remember what all the more, but there were several of them. It's like there's no way that an unborn baby, that right would even make any sense. So for the sake of simplicity and confusion or anything like that, we limited to the three that we felt that it actually applied to.
Barton.
Mr. Moiser, I have just a couple of questions, and you may have already heard them at the comment hearing, but the measure impacts three distinct, as I see it, three distinct separate rights or groups of rights under the state constitution. And I think arguably each of those sections covers a unique subject. Can you explain to me why the measure, since it impacts those three sections, contains a single subject, or why it doesn't contain multiple subjects, or why, if it does contain multiple subjects, there's a common thread running through the amendment to each of those particular rights?
Okay. Section 3, 6, and 25 are all what we consider inalienable rights. They are basic fundamental rights as a Colorado citizen. We are establishing in this just the general constitutional principle that the fundamental rights, as granted by, you know, these amendments or by these sections, that a person begins at the moment of fertilization. The thing is, if you read Section 25 of Article 2, that's the due process clause. And as an attorney, you understand that there are procedural due processes and substantive due processes. The thing is, we have a single principle of a person's life begins at the moment of fertilization. There are multiple applications, just like the due process has multiple applications. Inalienable rights, Section 3, multiple applications. These amendments have multiple applications, but the single subject is the fundamental right of a person. The fundamental constitutional rights granted to the citizens of the state of Colorado, we are saying, for, you know, purposes of our Constitution, begins at the moment of fertilization. We can, you know, a lot of these fundamental rights, we have cases in the Supreme Court where they have said these rights belong to an unborn person. All we're doing, in some sense, is, you know, for making sure that the Constitution elaborates when life begins or when a person begins for these rights.
And I think within that response, you probably answered my next question, but I just want to be clear. So what do you see is the change to current law that this would make?
What this does is ensures for the Colorado Constitution that in these rights that are granted in Section 3, 6, and 25, that those rights are ensured to be given to the unborn equally with the born. A baby who's one, you know, day old has the same rights as the baby who's 2 days before being born. The same fundamental constitutional rights that we give to the born, we are granting in the unborn.
Thank you.
And I guess I'd just like to follow up on that a little bit, because I'm still a little fuzzy on. You know, as Mr. Carden was, I think, asking, what's really the practical effect of the change in the law? I mean, I think you indicated that to some degree you feel like the courts have already extended rights.
Yeah.
to unborn people, I assume, as early as the moment of fertilization. But on the other hand, I'm assuming that there may be case law or principles that are to the contrary, and if you could sort of elaborate a little bit, I'd appreciate it.
Okay. In Roe v. Wade, the United States Supreme Court, in the majority decision, said if personhood was ever established and the case for Roe collapses, what we are doing is we're defining when personhood begins in the state of Colorado as set forth by the Chief Justice in the United States Supreme Court. So thus, in this state, there would be no abortions.
Any other questions? Thank you. You know, we've really gotten into what I said was the second step, is because I think most of our questions really relate to considerations of whether or not the measure comprises a single subject. And unless you have anything further, then I think I'd like to call upon others who might want to address that issue of whether the measure comprises a single subject.
I have comments regarding the staff, but I understand we need to discuss the single subject. If you, after they talk, I would love a chance to respond why, you know, legally, why we feel that this is a single subject.
Okay, that's fine. So if, let's see, I think I just have one person so far signed up to testify, unless someone additionally has signed up. Kara Vetch, I may be mispronouncing that, I'm sorry if I am. You could identify yourself for the record and who you represent, please.
Kara.
Kara. I'm 0 for 2. Sorry.
Happens all the time. I'm an attorney, and my clients are Ellen Brilliant, Trudy B. Brown, Vicki Howard, Amanda Mountjoy, and Juanita, Jacinta Montoya. I think that the board has already touched on the fact that this initiative has a single subject problem. Inalienable rights, access to courts, and due process, the framers of the Constitution put those in separate sections of the Constitution. They themselves understood that they were not the same. They could have identified access to courts as an inalienable right. Could have put it in the right section. They didn't do that. They could have identified due process as an inalienable right. Again, they didn't put that in the inalienable rights section. Additionally, in addition to them being in separate sections, they are distinct. And inalienable rights under the Colorado law are natural and essential. They include the right of enjoying and defending life and liberty, of acquiring and protecting property, and seeking and obtaining safety and happiness. Due process and access to courts are a different type of right. They exist solely because the government has established a judicial system. They are not natural rights as inalienable rights are. On the flip side, due process requires that no person shall be deprived of life, liberty, or property. It says nothing of happiness and safety, which is an inalienable right. Again, this demonstrates the partition between articles and sections. And those are our primary concerns.
Are there questions for Ms. Veach?
I appreciate what you're saying, and it's certainly clear that this affects a number of different kinds of rights. But would you have the same problems if this if the proposal simply, the flip side of what I asked earlier, if this proposal didn't limit itself to these three sections, if it simply said for purposes of the Colorado Constitution or even for Article 2, a person is defined as beginning at the moment of fertilization?
Good question. I think first it's important to point out that's not what they're doing here. And whether or not change, I guess they would essentially be changing their initiative to say we are redefining purposes for the purpose for the Colorado Constitution. That's drastically different than what they're doing. I'm not willing to concede that there aren't any problems with that at this point, but I haven't given it much thought at this hearing.
When I asked that, the response I got was essentially that it's not drastically different, that these are effectively the only sections of the Constitution where this would really have any practical effect, is why they limited it to this. Now, if that's true, then essentially my hypothetical is not that much different than what we're actually asked to do here. Now, if in fact you believe what he said is false and there are other sections, and this really is kind of picking and choosing, then we do have a different question. But if really, and I have to tell you, my reading of Article 2, at least, is that he's correct, that really this, the only practical effect is in these three sections, even if you did write it as my hypothetical, then, I mean, I think that really is the question. Can we, could someone come in and simply redefine for purposes of the Constitution what it is to be a person? Is that a single subject?
Let me see if I get this right. Your question is, if the proponents had proposed an initiative that said we are to change the definition of person for the Colorado Constitution, would there be a single subject violation?
Well, I guess, yeah, I guess I have two questions, two related questions. There could be two single subject problems here, two different kinds. One is if, by picking and choosing certain sections of Article 2, that somehow creates the problem. Or if it's simply too broad, even if you made it even broader, would that eliminate the problem or would that solve the problem?
Let me address your first question. I think yes, by picking certain sections and affecting different sections of the Colorado Constitution, that yes, they've created a single subject problem with this initiative. Your second question is, would it be too broad if they generally defined?
Well, I mean, would my hypothetical solve the problem or make it worse? Is the problem simply that it's too broad and it covers all these different disparate kind of rights that are in Article 2? And therefore, making it even broader would obviously make that a worse problem. Or is it that they've kind of picked and chose certain ones, and then by leaving others out, that somehow creates the single subject problem? Because I have to sort of conceptually figure out what the single subject problem is here.
Sure. I think the single there is definitely a single subject problem with the latter. I think there's no question as to that. Now, whether there's a single subject problem with the first part of the question, I'm not sure at this point. I'm not willing to concede that there's no single subject problem.
Well, let me ask it this way. Could someone come in here with an equal protection amendment that says no one shall be denied under the Colorado Constitution equal protection of the laws? Because that equal protection brings into it a lot of all the laws of the state, right? And so it affects fundamental rights, it affects statutory rights, it affects the same different kinds of rights that you're saying creates a single subject problem here. And I'm just trying to figure out, would that be a problem?
The distinction between that and what the proponents are doing here is that would just affect one section, or one section of Article 2, correct? It would affect...
Well, I mean, say there were no equal protection amendment in the Colorado Constitution. But someone came in here before us and said, I propose to amend the Colorado Constitution to say no person shall be denied the equal protection of the laws of the state of Colorado. That equal protection, this blanket concept, covers all sorts of different fundamental rights, due process rights, even more. It affects much more than what they're doing here, right? And so I wonder if something that broad, under your theory, at least as you presented it at first, that would be a single subject violation.
I think, and I'm not sure because this was not part of their initiative, that there's case law that says equal protection is part of due process in Colorado. But I would have to give, honestly, I'd have to give that some more thought. Speaking on behalf of my clients.
I'd like to ask some questions about kind of what tests we should follow in deciding whether the measure complies with the single subject requirement. So, for example, one of the tests that the state Supreme Court has talked about is that a measure violates the single subject requirement if it has two or more distinct and separate purposes which are not dependent on or connected with each other. And we heard the proponents identify what they view as the single purpose, I think. Can you articulate for me separate and distinct purposes that are not dependent on or connected with each other?
Yes, that there are distinct purposes in that the proponents could arguably change the definition of person in just the enable rights section. And by changing it in three separate sections, they are changing three distinct and not dependent rights, group of rights.
Not dependent on or connected with each other, separate. You're viewing those as three separate purposes that have no relationship to each other.
Right, because I think the inalienable right stands alone. It's not connected to or dependent on the access to courts. I don't think, and or due process, or vice versa.
I mean, they all involve basic rights of people. I mean, there are some connections.
I think there's probably, perhaps, very general, yes, they all fall under the Bill of Rights. So they all discuss rights, but I think that is probably too broad a subject.
I guess another way to ask the question about, you know, what test we apply is if we go back to the statute, the single subject statute, 1-40-106.5. Now, this was the statute that was enacted by the General Assembly at the same time they referred to the people the constitutional amendment that enacted the single subject requirement. So this is part of the legislative history. And the General Assembly said that it was their intent that the constitutional single subject requirement be liberally construed, so as to avert the practices against which they are aimed. And it listed two practices that the measure was aimed at. One was basically what I think has been called log rolling. And it defines that as putting together in one measure subjects having no necessary or proper connection for the purpose of enlisting in support of the measure the advocates of each measure. That's one. I'm going to ask you to help me apply which of these practices might apply here. The second practice that they are working against here is to prevent surreptitious measures. That is to prevent surprise and fraud from being practiced upon voters. Can you help me understand how this measure constitutes either log rolling or surprise and fraud?
As the initiative is proposed, I think it and I hope this addresses your question, that it's possible for someone to want to apply the definition of person to inalienable rights, but not give that person access to court or due process. That's
what I'm getting at. So one group of people might support the fact that it applies to Section 3. Another group might say, I like the fact that it applies to Section 25.
Well, and I think the same person can actually say, I like the fact that it applies to Section 3, but I do not want it to apply to Section 25.
Is there any reason to believe that the measure is surreptitious? I just want to see if you'd address the second practice.
It has the surprise element to it. I will have to think about that a little longer, but I definitely think we have a log rolling problem.
Okay.
Could you explain that to me a little bit, where the log rolling problem would come from? I mean, who would want, I'm just trying to figure out how someone would how that would break down in someone's mind.
So let's use the example of someone who thinks it's appropriate to define person as a human being from fertilization for the purposes of inalienable rights, but not grant that same person access to the courts. This is a hypothetical, but if someone were to do that, it seems that they would have that they would want the state to take a kind of philosophical position that the unborn have inalienable rights. But at the same time, they might not want the courts to have to appoint attorneys for the unborn to allow the unborn to sue to protect those rights.
Okay, thanks.
Any other questions for Ms. Veach? Thank you. Before I return to the proponents, I just want to see if there was anybody else who wishes to testify on the question of whether the measure complies with the single subject requirement. If not, then Mr. Moiser, if you'd like to respond to the arguments from Ms. Veach, please.
Thank you very much. We do not think that there is any surprise in the matter. The amendment is very short, to the point, so we don't think that there would be a problem with the issue of surprise. As for the log rolling, just go back to the thing. What is the subject? We are defining for the basic fundamental rights of Colorado citizens. We are just making sure that they cover the unborn. Multiple applications, but there is a single purpose of defining who a person is. And, you know, in statutorily, that's why you have a definitional section at the beginning, and then you have all the statutes there after. And, you know, there will be definitional sections that only apply to different sections. This, we feel that there is no difference in this right here. We've confined it to the single purpose, you know, the Bill of Rights, you know, to make it simple and to ensure that there is no, you know, fraud or deception. We went through and, you know, specifically listed out the three sections that would be applicable where this definition of person would even matter, as Solicitor General mentioned. This is the only place where it makes sense, so in order to avoid fraud, we just let the voters know exactly which sections it would be in. So we feel that the Bill of Rights is dependent, it's altogether one section or one article of the Constitution, and at that, I would say there's no log rolling problem and no problem of voter fraud or surprise.
Further questions? I think I would like to, this is kind of in the nature of a follow-up question, I guess. I mean, at the beginning, you described what you viewed the purpose of the measure being.
Yes.
And I'm a little fuzzy, I think, on what you said about abortion, because I think it was that it wasn't the purpose of the measure to prohibit abortion from the moment of fertilization. Rather, you described the purpose as being extending, you know, those fundamental rights to persons from the moment of fertilization.
Yes.
And that the effect on abortion was perhaps a major result, major effect, major consideration. I don't remember. That's where I'm a little fuzzy exactly how that fits into your thought process here.
Again, our purpose is to establish the constitutional principle that fundamental rights of a person vest at the moment of fertilization. Because of the three sections that we have defined person or have established personhood, one of the effects of that would be addressing what the Supreme Court said in Roe v. Wade. That would just be one of the effects of, you know, of calling the unborn baby a person.
And what, just give me examples of other effects.
That would be that is the major effect. I would have to sit here and just try to, you know, think of creative hypotheticals, but it's also establishing a principle in the state of Colorado that we support life. You know, you look out, you know, at the state, you know, we'd be just making a statement that we protect and we respect life beginning at the very beginning.
Well, and let me ask you whether this would be an example. To the extent that the measure applies to Section 3, which guarantees the rights of persons to acquire, possess, and protect property. So, for example, would this extend rights of inheritance, say, to unborn people from the moment of fertilization?
I'm not 100% sure of this, but as I understand it, you know, we already, as a state, if a baby is born within 9 months of the death of the father, they take, you know, equally with their other siblings under inheritance rights. So I don't think this amendment does anything that the courts haven't already established. In, you know, Section 6, you know, there, you know, same thing there, you know, various parts of this the courts have already, you know, found that these rights, you know, vest in that unborn baby, you know, upon their birth.
Any other questions for Mr. Moiser? Thank you very much. I'll turn to board discussion of whether the measure complies with the single subject requirement. Any discussion by the board? Burton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I've concluded that the measure does contain a single subject, and I appreciate the discussion here. And much like Mr. Hobbs, I've gone through the various tests from the case law and from the statute in making the single subject determination, and more or less asked myself the questions, are there separate and unconnected purposes? Are there incongruous subjects in the measure? If there are multiple subjects or multiple purposes, is there no necessary or proper connection? And I felt like the answer to those questions was no, that there were, if there were purposes, there was a thread, multiple purposes, there was a thread, there was some connectivity, there was some congruity, that the measure doesn't attempt to further two or more unconnected purposes. I do feel that it does have a central theme, as explained by Mr. Moiser, and I'll hit on that briefly here in a second. But, and I also, as again, in follow-up to Mr. Hobbs's inquiry, I'll look to one of the, I'm not sure you could look at it as a test from the decision on Measure 55 last year. But the court said, in connection with that, first, this initiative's complexity and omnibus proportions are hidden from the voter. And I kind of applied that to this measure as well, and I don't feel as though the complexity of the measure, or that it has omnibus proportions that are necessarily hidden from the voter as far as the single subject determination goes. And I think in connection with Mr. Domenico's good line of questioning, I'm personally not certain that the failure to extend the definition of person to all 33 rights under Articles 2 would necessarily raise a single subject problem. I see where he was going there, but I can't say conclusively, and maybe I haven't thought it through as completely as necessary, but the failure to extend the definition of person to all 33 instead of just three of those 33, or as being the legislative drafter I am, I counted the number of rights under Article 2 in which the word person appears, and it's 16 out of the 33. To the other 16, I don't think that necessarily raises a single subject problem. And I can't say for certain that the application of this revised definition or this clarification to just these three rights or three sets of rights automatically raises a log rolling or an incongruity issue or one of unconnected purposes. And so I tend to agree with the single subject of the measure as stated by Mr. Moiser. It seems to me to be an extension of these certain rights, the moment of fertilization, that's kind of the common thread, that's the connectivity that runs through the impact to these three separate sections under the Bill of Rights.
Thank you. Benico?
Well, I don't disagree with much in there. I think it's pretty clear to me, it's quite clear to me that if this were not limited to certain sections of the Constitution, I would have no question that it were a single subject. So the only real question for me is whether by limiting it to certain sections that creates some kind of a problem. And I I guess the way that it would create a problem is somehow by surreptitiously hiding people who believed, say, they wanted to adopt this constitutional principle that we believe that a person begins at fertilization, as the proponents state, might think they're doing that for a number of important purposes, whereas if they got into the technical this section and not that section, it could cause a problem. But I've looked through Article 2 as well, and nothing I've heard here today has changed my mind that's not a problem that gives rise to a single subject problem. These really are, it seems to me, the parts of Article 2 that as I understand it, there may have been problems in the past, or where at least changing the definition in this way to include unborn children would have the effect that the proponents wanted to have, and that there's, I don't see much chance that some of the other 13, I guess, uses of person would confuse anyone, or that someone would be disappointed to find out that one of them weren't included in the measure. So while that gave me a little bit of pause when I first read the measure, I think looking at Article 2 and hearing the discussion today has reassured me that it's a single subject.
And I agree. I, for the reasons that have been expressed by Mr. Cardin and Mr. Domenico, it seems to me that the measure does comprise a single subject. You know, as Mr. Cardin said, we've got some tests, and it seems to me the measure appears to satisfy those tests, both the statutory and the case law. And like Mr. Domenico, I had looked through the other sections, and it does seem to me that I can see why proponents limited their choices to those three sections. The others don't appear to be relevant. Just as you go through them, they just don't, you know, the prohibition on slavery and so forth, it just doesn't seem like they apply. And I actually have a little bit of concern that if the possibility, at least, that if the measure had defined a person for all of Article 2, that there could have been unintended effects or consequences that potentially could have arisen to a single subject problem as well. Maybe I haven't identified that, but I think there is at least that risk, and so it makes some sense that the measure would identify the particular sections that achieve their purpose. So with that, I would entertain a motion.
I guess I just want to put this on the record just so we've addressed the concerns more than for any other purpose. Just to address the log rolling question, while the hypothetical that was brought up is plausible and more plausible than anything I was able to think of myself, it seems to me that the only way to make sense of the log rolling prohibition is to tie it into incongruous purposes and the no unifying thread language that the court has held in other places, because in any measure that has any effect that's more than very specific, there will always be someone who would say, you know, I like this part but not this other part. As long as they're not in conflict necessarily with one another or completely unrelated to one another, I don't think we have the authority to deny a measure single subject status, or if you will, on that basis. And so that's why, despite the plausible hypothetical, I don't believe there's a log rolling problem that's rises to the level of denying single subject.
Thank you. Is there a motion? Mr. Cardin, go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the title board find that measure number 36, definition of a person, has a single subject for purposes of the constitutional single subject requirement.
I'll second the motion.
That's been moved and seconded. If there's no other discussion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, no. That motion carries 3-0. Then let's turn to the staff prepared draft. Ms. Gomez is displaying it on the screen in the room. And Mr. Moiser, I guess I'd like to ask you first if you've had a chance. I think you indicated you had some comments about the staff draft, and I'd like to hear your comments if you'd like to comment on the staff draft.
Thank you. We have had a chance to look at the staff draft, and as a general rule, we are completely in favor with what you have. We do think grammatically concerning defining. We think that's a little confusing language, and I have, you know, scribbled on my piece of paper here a way of just switching that wording around so that I think it would be clear. Would you like me
to? Go ahead.
I'll just go ahead and read line one, an amendment to the Colorado Constitution concerning, scratch out the word defining and put in the definition of a legal person, and go back to your text, for certain sections of the Colorado Constitution, delete the word a person, and then just pick it up to include any human being from the moment of fertilization. Jumping down to line four, shall there be an amendment to the Colorado Constitution concerning, scratch out the word defining, change it to the definition of a legal person, back to the text, for the certain sections of the Colorado Constitution, cross out a person, and go to include any human being from the moment of fertilization. That's, you know, I just didn't like how that was worded, so that's how I kind of made it so I thought it sounded a little bit clear.
And I, you know, one thing, let me just comment on one thing, kind of a technical comment. We basically have two titles here. We have the title, then we have the ballot title and submission clause, which is identical, except that it's in the form of a question. And typically we work off of just the first one.
Okay.
And with any changes that we make, will be made to the second.
Okay.
The identical changes.
I had saw what that was, but I just, you know, I just made the correction in both places, and it's the exact same correction.
Sure. And so, again, I think we can focus on the changes we want to make in what's now lines one through three, and with implicitly we'll make the same changes in the other lines
okay.
as well.
I just thought, you know, concerning defining just did not sound grammatically correct, and so we just, you know, switched it so that it stayed the same tense throughout, I think.
And I think your suggestion touches upon some things I was wondering about. I haven't formed an opinion about whether we ought to make any changes, but the ordering is one thing that I was concerned about. You know, what's the clearest reading? What's the simplest and clearest reading? Reordering it may or may not be helpful. But I guess one concern that I don't think you touched upon, I don't believe, is because you're leaving in for certain sections of the Colorado Constitution. And that bothers me a little bit. I mean, I would prefer if we could say something about those, because to the reader, I mean, this is a pretty short title,
yeah,
relatively. You know, and I think maybe the key words are going to be there anyway, as far as extending the definition of person from the moment of fertilization. I mean, this goes back to our discussion about surreptitious and so forth. I don't think there's going to be any real confusion probably, but it is pretty vague to say certain sections, and I don't know whether we can say something about that or whether we should. I wondered if we could say, you know, certain sections of the Constitution that establish the rights, various rights of persons or something. I mean, we're in the Bill of Rights, or in that section. It's not just any sections of the Constitution. So I don't know if you have any comment or suggestions.
If you wanted to address that thing, we would have no problem. I'll go ahead and read. An amendment to the Colorado Constitution concerning the definition of a legal person for Section 3, 6, and 25 of the Colorado Constitution or of the state constitution, either one, I think, would address your concerns and probably would actually be even clearer for the voters. And it's basically, you know, as you said, this amendment's so short, it's almost just taking the language and just putting it in there. So we would have no issue at all of just actually saying Sections 3, 6, and 25.
Well, and obviously the the concern about that may be, I mean, although that is more specific information, the concern would be that the reader doesn't know what sections 3, 6, and 25 are.
Yeah.
And I was aimed more at trying to give a clue of the general subject matter of those sections, that this is about rights of persons or something along those lines. But I don't know that there is a solution, but
I don't think there would be a solution absent making the ballot title 10 times longer than the actual amendment itself. Yeah. You know, I think, you know, the purpose of the ballot title is to generally let the person know what's going on. They can always refer to the amendment and finding, you know, if, you know, a person's really confused, you know, Colorado Constitution is readily available to people, and, you know, to figure out what 3625 is. I mean, I know on our website we have it, and I know throughout this, and, you know, entire next 16 months, it's going to be well publicized what those rights are. So, I mean, absent making this title, you know, 20 lines long to make sure everybody knows exactly what everything is, I don't think it's necessary.
Well, and, you know, one of the things that typically when we're setting titles, one way to look at it is that there's two basic things that we are asked to achieve. And one is that we're required to clearly express the single subject. The other thing is that we identify the chief features of the proposal. And in other measures, as a result of that, the structure of the ballot title typically might be, you know, an amendment to the Colorado Constitution concerning something, the single subject, and in connection therewith, doing A and B and C.
Okay.
Here, it does strike me as the drafter of this title, I think, thought that it's such a short measure that it's not necessary probably to follow that structure of, you know, concerning something and then doing these things. We could, along the lines of what you just said, we could say concerning the definition of a person for certain provisions and in connection therewith, providing that such definition shall apply to, you know, section 3 concerning something, section 6 concerning something, and so forth. We could provide more information. I mean, personally, I think that's unnecessary, but that is another approach to it.
Well, along that lines, we could say, you know, an amendment to the Colorado Constitution concerning the definition of a legal person for certain sections of the Colorado Constitution, which include inalienable rights, due process clause, and equality of justice. I mean, if you felt that it would, you know, avoid deception with the voters to actually just, you know, use the titles that are already given for 3, 6, and 25, it would make the ballot a little bit longer, but I don't think, for the purposes of clarity, I don't think there would be a problem with that.
Well, I like that from the point of view of it providing more clarity, more information for voters. I'm being somewhat strict about, you know, my concern about trying to list the subjects of those three sections in the expression of the single subject, because it then tends to suggest, and this goes back to our discussion about the single subject, that it's three subjects.
Yeah.
It's concerning the definition of person for purposes of this section about so-and-so and this section about so-and-so and so. And
well,
so it's just, you know, general rule, we try to avoid conjunctions in the expression of single subject.
I personally like brevity. And I mean, I could take what we have here and, you know, shorten it about half and make it, you know, extremely short and to the point. But you are in a position where you're in a balancing type position, and I think you gentlemen are in the, you know, best position to do that. I think whoever drafted the staff, you know, did a very good job, and I've given a couple of suggestions about how far you could go, and I think that's, you know, I think that's your guys' position, exactly where you guys are comfortable with, of just what is the best. And I think we are going to be in agreement with you on, you know, from based upon this, you know, to just where you go with it.
Any other questions for Mr. Moiser?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I have sort of general questions.
Mr. Carton?
And so just to be clear, is it your preference, or do you care whether or not the title, the expression of the single subject, or the trailer mentions the three rights?
I enjoy brevity, so the shorter we can make it, the better. But if you guys feel that we need to, you know, have, you know, mention 3625 or inalienable rights, due process, equality, just, if you feel that, you know, in order to meet our constitutional vows to make sure we have an informal electorate, if you feel like you have to do that, by all means do it. Our position is, you know, shorter is probably going to be better and easier to understand. It's a short amendment to begin with, so.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ms. Veach, would you like to comment on the staff draft, or is
concerning or certain sections of the Colorado Constitution is vague and doesn't tell the voters what is going on at all. I think even saying certain sections of Article 2 is so vague that they have no idea what they're actually voting on.
Would it be your preference to, for example, use the captions in those sections to
list
we include
the three,
those? Yes.
So you would say to affect the rights due process. I think that gives the voters a better idea of what's happening.
Thank you. Is there anybody else who wishes to testify on the staff drafts? Then I'll turn to board discussion on the staff drafts. Suggested revisions.
Well, just to begin with, I agree with Mr. Moiser that the concerning defining is, if nothing else, ugly. And should be fixed. And I know we have a rule that it's got to say concerning something. So if we're going to start there, I actually thought that the suggestion made by the proponents was a good place to at least start. And then before we get into the more substantive issue, if I'd like to sort of see what that would look like, and then maybe we can go from there.
And I don't know, Mr. Carton, had a suggestion, and I think it may be consistent with what you were saying, Mr. Domenico. Mr. Carton, would you like to describe that?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm never certain how to do this, but I brought some extra copies of kind of a couple of approaches that I think are consistent with both the fixing the concerning defining, kind of eliminating the uncertainty or the ambiguity of the for certain sections of the Colorado Constitution, and so.
Maybe you have at least a couple of extra. I do. Maybe Mr. Moiser and Ms. Veach.
And on the draft that you have, maybe it would be better. I don't know which the other board members would prefer to talk about, but I think that the first shot at it. It raises the issue that Mr. Hobbs brought up about using a conjunction, and that would be an amendment to the Colorado Constitution concerning the inclusion of any human being from the moment of fertilization within the definition of a person or persons for purposes of those provisions of the Constitution relating to inalienable rights, equality of justice, and due process of law. And you wouldn't have a trailer, but you would have the conjunction issue. As far as single subject goes, and maybe more consistent with what the proponents, what Mr. Moiser brought up, would be to say, and this could probably be even tailored to his initial suggestion, language to the effect that an amendment to the Colorado Constitution concerning the inclusion of any human being from the moment of fertilization within the definition of a person or persons for purposes of provisions of the Constitution relating to certain fundamental rights, and in connection therewith, specifying that such definition applies to those provisions on inalienable rights, equality of justice, and due process of law. And I realize, again, that that's probably twice as long as the measure, but sometimes we hit those snags here. So those would be, you know, a couple of alternative or suggestions. And looking at Mr. Moiser's suggestion, perhaps it would be as easy to kind of modify his suggestion on the staff draft to say an amendment to the Colorado Constitution concerning the definition of a legal person or a person, and then go right to include any human being from the moment of fertilization, and then add the and in connection therewith. I know I'm kind of jumping around here, but
Could you say that again? So you're focusing more on the second
right
here, and if you could go over right. that again. You're building in Mr. Moiser's
I am. And so the suggestion would kind of be a blend, I think, between Mr. Moiser's modification of the staff draft and my second take on the title, so that the draft would provide, at least maybe perhaps for opening discussion, Mr. Hobbs, an amendment to the Colorado Constitution concerning the definition of a person to include any human being from the moment of fertilization, comma, yeah. Let me try that again. An amendment to the Colorado Constitution concerning the definition of a person to include any human being from the moment of fertilization for purposes of provisions of the Constitution relating to certain fundamental rights, and in connection therewith specifying that such definition applies to those provisions on inalienable rights, equality of justice, and due process of law. That's kind of lengthy.
Well, I think that's a good place to start if we really are going to stick with keeping concerning in there. I mean, it would be easier to turn either defining or including into the word there, into the, what is that, a gerund? I don't know what it is. But if we use defining or including there, it would be easier to write and a tiny bit shorter. But I actually think what you had written down is a pretty good place to start. Or flipping it around a little bit, either one of them I think is fine and certainly meets the requirements of the title board. But so am I overruled on suggesting getting rid of concerning as usual?
I would prefer to retain the word concerning.
Okay, then I suggest we start by putting up on the board what Mr. Carton handed out, at least to start with, and then go from there.
And I think that makes sense. It's a lot of typing for Ceci, but I think sort of Ceci from the second one. I don't know how much you track, but maybe Mr. Carton could kind of guide you through that.
Should we just go from this?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I guess why don't we just, if it suits the board, why don't we just go with the language of the second paragraph here for starters? Is that all right?
Sure.
Ms. Gomez, an opportunity to type it in on the screen for the benefit of everybody in the room. helpful if I read for you.
Or if I held it up.
Okay.
Stand. Yeah, you have a typo, but...
And it is a tiny keyboard. It's harder to type. I've used it, so I'm defending the difficulty here.
I guess maybe what I'll suggest is that it just, Ceci, if you wouldn't mind just conforming it to the draft as it appears here, maybe we can come back and see about inserting the word definition. And so my suggestion would be on line one, strike definition of a. And then strike person to include, I mean person two on line one. Yeah, person two in change include to inclusion. Insert the word of after inclusion. On line two, after fertilization, insert within the definition of a person or persons.
Comments from proponents or from Ms. Beach about this proposal?
I personally prefer, concerning the definition of, as we were discussing, and then in doing that, when you get down to fundamental rights, which I'm trying to see which line is on there, concerning fundamental rights, to include, just scratch out connections there with specifically that such definition applies to those. Cross out all that and go including the provisions on inalienable rights. Just shorten it up. I think that line could pretty much be wiped out. One word could do the purpose thereof. So, to certain fundamental rights, including provisions on inalienable rights, equality of justice, and due process of law. I think that would make it a little bit clearer.
Is fundamental rights, is that a term that we're making up, or are these somehow under that rubric in the Constitution or somewhere else?
These are the due process, which our courts consider, you know, the fundamental rights.
Right, but I'll keep going. I would not use the word fundamental there. I would use constitutional, probably. But other than that, and I don't have a preference one way or the other whether it starts with the inclusion or the definition, but I would definitely change the end of it, even though I know that's another sort of formula thing. But this is not that kind of an amendment. It's a different. It's just a definitional amendment, and so I don't think the formula makes much sense here. So I would agree on the sort of deleting the middle part there and just saying relating to certain constitutional rights, or and then just laying them out right there.
Yeah.
And I, this may surprise Mr. Domenico, but I think in this case, I think we could weigh in favor of simplicity here and violate our strict formula and eliminate the the and in connection therewith portion. So, and I agree that it does make me nervous to say fundamental rights. It would be better to avoid that term, I think. But
personally, I like it in there, but I understand your guys' concerns, and I think it would create legal challenges that do not need to be there or anything like that. So I like it. If you guys want to put it there, we'll take it, but it probably would be best to move it to constitutional.
Thank you. Ms. Veach, did you want to comment on this proposal? Well, let's go ahead and update it, perhaps, Ms. Gomez, with what Mr. Domenico said. I think strike fundamental and substitute constitutional.
That's right. After rights, delete the comma and say relating to, and then delete everything up to those provisions on. I would delete all that. All right, let's see. We could make it even shorter, I think. Let me make some proposed cuts here. All right. Within the definition of a person or persons, for purposes of those, what if we just go cut everything down to from for purposes, between for purposes of, and then delete the rest of line 3 and the beginning of line 4 down to those. And so it would just read, within the definition of a person or persons, for purposes of those provisions, and then I guess we'd have to say those provisions of the Colorado Constitution, relating to inalienable rights, etc. So then I would say after provisions on line 3, I would say those provisions of the Colorado Constitution. No, just later on line 3 after provisions, after provisions of the Colorado Constitution.
relating to. Yeah, and then delete on. How's that? I guess the proponents suggested sort of changing it to the definition to come first. I don't have a preference about that one way or the other. So it would say concerning the definition of a person, or the definition of a person to include. Is that the idea? Yeah. You know, let's see. It does. It's titled "Person Defined." I mean, you might just start with defining a person, but I can go either way with that. Does anyone?
I don't have any strong feelings about it one way or the other. I mean, part of me likes saying concerning the definition, but it ends up being a little more awkward, possibly. I mean, concerning the definition.
Yeah, I mean, I will say that the one concern I have is that there's saying it that way suggests a little bit. I don't think it's really a material problem. Suggests that there's some kind of existing definition in the Constitution that you're changing. And partly that's a problem because of using concerning there, I think is part of the problem. But as long as we're leaving that, saying concerning the definition of person may suggest a little bit that there's already in the state Constitution a definition of person. I don't think there is. And so leaving it this way avoids any possible confusion there might be on that. Not that I think that's a big deal one way or the other. It just may be a little bit clearer this way.
Yeah, I think that's a good point.
I mean, if the proponents really object to that, leaving it the way it is, I mean, then I'd be willing to avoid it. But you know, the definition in the measure actually is only in the title, in the heading of it. It's not in the action part of the measure, whereas include is. And so this is probably a little bit closer to the actual action. But as I say, I don't think it's a big deal.
Ms. Veach, do you want to comment on that proposal? Why don't you get? We do need to make sure we're recording, so comments should be at the microphone.
I don't believe we have a problem with that.
Thank you, Ms. Veach.
My concern goes back to what you addressed at the beginning, Mr. Hobson. Screams more than one subject.
Okay. Would you prefer to resolve that by going back to the "and in connection therewith," so that you express a single subject without a conjunction before the "and" and before you say "any connection therewith"? I mean, we can avoid this and make it just a little more cumbersome. Would that be your preference? And I don't know whether I'm being clear or not. Okay, so we sort of back to before we shortened it, it would be concerning the inclusion of any human being from the moment of fertilization within the definition of person or person for purposes of, and I can't remember, we had, you know, certain provisions of the Constitution, comma, and in connection therewith, you know, defining, I've lost track of what it was, but then we would list the three things with a conjunction after we've expressed the single subject without a conjunction. I mean, if that's an important thing. Here it seems like this is, as I was indicating to Mr. Domenico, I think this is a kind of a unique case where I'm not so concerned about a conjunction, because we're not going to have trailers, perhaps, if we stick with this structure. It's not the normal structure where we express a single subject and then we have a series of trailers that list the major features of the proposal. We're sort of compact. This proposal that's on the screen compacts it, but we can still use that structure if you're concerned about the conjunction in the expression of the single subject.
You believe that by inserting connection there with followed by a conjunction that it no longer has?
Well, I'm just saying that the ending connection therewith separates the first part of the title, which expresses the single subject, with the remainder of the title, which provides additional information.
And your question to me is,
do I think that would be one way or the other? Yes.
I think the latter is, I'm sorry, with in conjunction is probably mm-hmm. more accurate, although.
Okay. Thank you. Any other comments on the draft as we have it at this point?
Chairman, I hadn't planned on testifying, but my name is Pat Stedman. I'm here just as myself. And just a small technical point. I believe it's standard format in both the statutes and in the Constitution for defined terms to appear within quotation marks. The proponents have placed quotation marks around the words person and persons within the text of their measure, and I'm wondering if that would also be appropriate within the title.
And so you're raising the possibility of it end of line two?
The word person appear within quotation marks, and then on line the beginning of line three, the word persons also.
And that's a good point. I wondered if that would help signal that this is about the definition of that term or those two terms. So, thank you. Mr. Moiser, any comment on that? Does anyone have any feeling about that?
If they want to put quotation marks around it, around person or persons, no problem with us.
Thank you.
I very much appreciate that comment. That's a helpful thing to point out, and it actually highlights something that I was sort of getting at before, which is that, to me, brings up, again, the problem that I had before of suggesting that those terms are currently defined. And I think that's not what the measure, what it's actually doing in using those in quotation marks, is saying when those terms are used in these three sections of the Constitution, and that's why they're in quotes, they're to be interpreted to include a human being from the moment of fertilization. It's not addressing a currently defined term, and I almost wonder if that sort of flips my earlier thoughts on their head and suggests we should say concerning the definition of or the use of I mean maybe it's even better to just say and to change definition within the terms of, and then use in quotes, person or persons, as those terms are used in those provisions of the Colorado Constitution, and then you avoid the problem I've sort of got. I don't think it's a problem as it is, but it maybe tracks a little bit closer what the actual measure is doing. To say within the terms person or persons, as those terms are used.
Mr. Domenico?
Yes.
I think you've articulated the dilemma that we're forced into by rigidly staying with the concerning structure. And I do recall now we have made exceptions where we had basically a one-sentence proposal and we were simply expressing what it does. And I think we felt comfortable, although on the one hand saying concerning something more clearly expresses a subject, a thing. I think in those special circumstances where we basically had a single sentence measure, we've done that. And I think that avoids the dilemma that you're struggling with if we just said an amendment to the Colorado Constitution defining, quote, person, unquote, et cetera.
Yeah, I think that would address the problem, because then you, that makes it clear to me that this is something new, this mm-hmm. definition, as opposed to.
And I think I am okay with that. I think this is a special case, and there is some precedent for it, and I think it's clearer.
Didn't we do pieces possible that way? All right, good.
Mr. Carton, do you have an objection to that?
I don't have any objection to it. I think you can. You know, if you're hung up on defining or definition, I think I agree with Mr. Domenico that you can fix this right here by just saying within the term, quote, person, close quote, or persons, in quotes. But I also agree with your reasoning that if you want to go straight to defining, even though I'm not sure that's what you're doing, I guess that's what the measure does. It says that the person used in these provisions includes. But I think either way, I think it expresses the single subject. So I'm fine with going to taking a deep breath and eliminating concerning.
Pretty radical.
Okay.
I mean, just to be clear, I think what I am prepared to propose is something along these lines. An amendment to the Colorado Constitution defining the term, quote, person, unquote, to include any human being from the moment of fertilization. Next, but I want to pick up, you know, maybe it's for purposes of those provisions of the Colorado Constitution relating to inalienable rights, equality of justice, and due process of law. Is that the right idea? Help Mr. Domenico?
I think so. Yeah, and I agree with Mr. Carton. I think if you don't do it that way, we probably should do it the way I was suggesting a few minutes before we made this radical move to get rid of concerning. Either one of those, I think, works.
I'd support your proposed.
It's a new day at the title board. Let's see what that looks like. Defining the term, quote, person, and I'm intentionally not saying person or persons. I'm trying to avoid a conjunction. I don't think it helps anything. I know technically the measure itself recognizes that it may be, the text may say person or it may say persons, but so defining the term, quote, person, unquote, to include, right, what's on the screen, the inclusion of, so it just says to include any.
Too far.
Yeah. To include any human being from the moment of fertilization. Then strike, beginning at towards the end of line two, strike from the word within, I think through halfway to the next line, strike definition of a person or persons. Defining the term person to include any human being from the moment of fertilization for purposes of those provisions of the Colorado Constitution relating to A, B, and C.
I think that's great. The only other possible change would be instead of for purposes of, you could say something as that term or as person is used in those provisions. That just tracks a little more closely. I think the meaning is equally clear either way.
think that's a good revision.
Okay. Menico, if you'll describe that for me.
Okay. Where you are there after fertilization, insert as, indeed, should we say that term or as person? I think I prefer as, quote, person, unquote, is used in. Is used in. And then strike for purposes of. I think that's pretty good.
I'll, Mr. Moiser.
No objection.
Any other comments? I'll move then the title as shown on the screen.
Second.
That's been moved and seconded, and so for the record, let me read how that title would read. And again, it's understood that the ballot title and submission clause that follows would the same changes would be made there. But the motion is that the title would read as follows: an amendment to the Colorado Constitution defining the term quote person unquote to include any human being from the moment of fertilization as quote person unquote is used in those provisions of the Colorado Constitution relating to inalienable rights, comma, equality of justice, comma, and due process of law, period. Any further discussion? Not all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, no. That motion carries 3-0, and that concludes our action on number 36 and our agenda for the day. For the record, the time is 3:30 p.m., and we're adjourned. I should say that if a motion for rehearing is filed within 7 days, since the title board meets on the first and third Wednesdays of every month, we'll meet whatever the next available Wednesday is, so after the filing of a motion for rehearing. So, is that right? Okay. I should have looked up the date, but August 1st? Okay, we're adjourned. Thank you.
Doing more.
Doing well.
You're okay?
We'll all right, with the title, yeah. Okay.
There's no looking back now, Bill.
Yeah. I think we're going
to want the single subject. Oh. It's going to be a real...
Thanks for putting up much stubbornness.
So sometimes persistence pays off.
You're right. I think this one was great.